hey, somebody said you don't need a microphone. I understand that. Totally understand that. I totally understand that. I'm thankful for this church and the support of the pastor and his wife and this church for supporting what we do. We just were in a vacation Bible school. We just finished up traveling on the way home Friday. So 12 kids got saved and then 3 teenagers, eternal security. So I don't know about you, but it's all worth it if one gets saved, really, honestly. And it's just amazing what God is doing. And there's a couple things I'm all about. I'm all about kids. I'm all about camp. I'm all about vacation Bible school. And so you keep praying for us. As we were coming home, I expect opposition. My message will be a little bit about that tonight. But as we're coming home, and I'm driving in the Sprinter, we don't have the Sprinter today right now, but it's in the shop. But as we're driving home, there was problems. I thought it was the brakes. We got as far as 76. And I'm thinking, okay, am I going across the bridge? I'm about 7 miles from my mother in Philly, so I'll go that route. And so it's about 11:30. And so we're just praying that God will let us go. I pulled off to the side. I thought maybe it was a tire, but it wasn't a tire. And then I checked the brakes. It wasn't a brakes. And as I'm looking underneath, it's a universal joint, looks like. And then things are falling apart as I'm driving. And I'm just waiting for the whole drive shaft to just drop out the bottom. You know what I mean? And my wife and I were talking about it, and and Pastor Verdun has a statement, and I think it's very true. Bumps are what you climb on, not what holds you back. I think it's important to understand that when you do something for God, you need to expect opposition. So when the girls give a testimony tonight, don't think for 1 minute that their testimony is not going to be tested. So we go from vacation Bible school, and I'm expecting nothing to happen? Seriously, are you kidding me? And I'm going to talk a little bit about it tonight, but you never know what's going to happen. You really don't. So Saturday morning, you know, get the van and get it in there. Mom gives me the car, which is unusual for her to let me use her car because she's 81 and she doesn't want anybody to drive her car. How many know I'm talking about right there? Hello. And we go across the bridge and then I get back and we hook up the towing and we talk to the guy who's going to work on it. And yo, it's just life. Amen. There's another vacation Bible school coming up, amen? So now you go load your car up, try to fit everything in there and figure out how everything's going to fit. But that's life, amen? Life is adjustments, amen? So I'm going to preach a little message tonight. Anything I do is a little. But anyway, Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to talk about storms. And it's not the ones that stirred up when my neighborhood, it was amazing. I mean, I got everything loaded in the car and we got on the road and we were coming here and we didn't get like, I don't think 5 minutes from where we were and it started torrential downpour. I'm thinking, thank God that it didn't happen when I was loading the car. You know what I'm talking about, right? Hello? Thank God. And then, you know, when you get on the road, people, because it's raining, they need to go, instead of 65, they need to go 30. Amen, hello? And if they think somebody is going to put on the brakes in front of them, they put their brakes on. You got to love drivers. Lord have mercy. Try your patience. And I said, don't you understand where I have to get to? I never try to run in and just go right to preaching. That's not my style. Oh, well, adjustments. Amen. Come on now. All right. So that's how that rolls. And I'm saying to my wife, the preacher's going to be getting nervous. I know it. And then my wife texts him and says, I'm here at 6 o'clock. But no, I meant I'm going to be here at 6:30. She just put the wrong time in there. You know what I mean? Can't blame that one on the smartphone. Amen. Smartphone does change things, but not that one. Amen. So anyway. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse number 22. Matthew 14, verse number 22. Matthew 14, beginning verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him on the other side, And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain to eat. Now he went in a mountain apart to pray. Let's think about this for a minute. Whenever I read something in the Bible, and it's speaking of the Lord, what he's done, it sort of puts me under conviction. That no matter what was going on, and no matter how busy things were, he knew himself. Now wait a minute. We're talking about the Son of God here. He had to get apart to pray. And now come on. Can I come down your road? And we have every excuse in the book why we don't pray. Listen. We have time for everything else. Come on, I'm talking to me today. You understand, right? I'm talking to me tonight. And here's the Lord himself. Now watch, did you say, hear what he said? He went apart of everybody else to pray. Listen, I have a man cave. Okay, every man should have a man cave. It's just awesome. Okay, my wife is the one who entitled it, the man cave. Seriously, I mean, can you beat that? Come on, seriously. But it's a place I read my Bible and I pray. It's a place where I watch sports. And when the Holy Spirit of God is convicting me, I put Hallmark movies on, amen? But I try not to be a regular thing. Hello? But listen, I can be down in my man cave doing anything. I don't know if it hits you, but it really hits me. So here's the Son of God had to come apart from everybody. Do you know what? Can I help you here? You need to have a specific place where you pray and nobody bothers with you. Because let me just help you here. Because if I stay upstairs, and I do this sometimes, my wife's reading her Bible and I'm already done and I'm going to talk to her. That ain't going to work. And if she comes downstairs while I'm praying, then how much praying am I getting done? Come on. Listen, we make time for what we want to do. Seriously. We have to make time to pray. Gretchen, right on the nose. Seriously. It's a subject that's talked a lot about, but not a lot done. Shh. I'm going to tell you right now, listen very carefully. If everybody in independent Baptist churches in America would seriously pray, we could change this country. That's what the Bible says, right? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and what? Pray. Do you know why we don't have revival? Because we don't pray for it. I'm talking to me. Listen to me. There's no other guy who wants revival than me. And listen, if you have the mindset that it's never going to happen, then let me help you here. It's not going to happen. Seriously. I mean, listen, let's just close the book, preacher, and go home. Seriously. Because if God is not working, then come on, are you serious? So somebody got saved today, so that was just like, no, are you kidding me? When somebody comes to church and gets saved, that's unbelievable. We lose sight of that, you know. You know, God's concerned about one soul, but here he is. He gets apart to pray. So can I ask you? There you go. So where is your specific place? Now ready, watch. And specific time for you to pray. Talking to me. Listen to me, I'm talking to me. The Lord knew he needed to do that. How much more do I need to do that? Seriously. All right, here we go. That's not the message, that's just for free, okay? Oh, here we go. Verse 24. Apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now listen to me. So the Lord then sends him in a ship, and he goes apart to pray. Do you think that he knows what's going to happen next? Yes. He's God. All right, here we go. Here we go. And in the fourth watch of the night, so it's late, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Oh, now wait a second. Hold it. Hold it. Wait a second. I'm just like, am I out to lunch here or what? Come on, think about it for a minute. The apostles were hand in hand walking with Jesus. Did they get it yet? Woo-hoo-hoo! Well, and I start talking to me. So now watch. So you have the whole Bible, and we still don't get it. Hello? I mean, you got it all, right? They didn't have it all. Now let's just help you here. There could be another spirit that could be on the water. No doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt about that. But it ain't the same one that's coming to them. Think for a minute. I'm going to preach it in a minute. Just think about it for a minute. Whatever you're going through in your life, God knows all about it, and He's the one who's allowed it. Now let me just help you here. We as Christians are easy saying that, but it's a whole different ballgame when it's coming down our road. Now, I think about the preacher, man. I'm telling you what, he's been through it. Come on, it's easy when you're not the one in the bed. Until you get into bed. Then things start to change. Come on now. Because you know, sometimes we try to play God for people. Hello? I don't want God's job. Please. I got enough dealing with me. Seriously. And so we have a God in heaven that deals with everybody. Are you serious? So they should at least have a little bit of it. Okay, here we go. Oh my word, I'm going to hurry up because I'm never going to get done. Okay, Lord, here we go. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou..." Now wait a second. Are you getting this? He just said, "It's me. It's I, it's me." Well, wait a second. I'm just checking again. "If it's you, bid me." Are you serious? I think maybe you can believe the Lord when He says something. Now, you might not be able to believe us, but you should be able to believe the Lord, right? But He's just checking. It's sort of like, right, watch. It's sort of like when we pray. Come on, watch. And then we pray to God, and God answers our prayers, and we say, "I can't believe it." And God said, "What are you? Are you dumber than a box of rocks or what? Didn't you pray that way?" "Yeah, I answered it." And you say, "Oh, are you kidding me?" Ever been there? I got a t-shirt for that. Amen? Yeah, sure. Just wear that thing. Please. Seriously. That's where we live, you know. All right, here we go. And He said to Peter, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now just think about this for a minute. First of all, Peter is the kind of guy that I sort of mirror myself after. Normally I say things sometimes before I think. Insert foot into mouth. I live there. And sometimes I do things quickly, sometimes without thinking. That would have been me. So Peter thought, I'm going to walk on the sea. This will really be a good idea. Come on, now watch. Peter's the only one besides Jesus who walked on water. No other disciple got out of the boat, did they? And it wouldn't have been me either. Come on, think about it for a minute. You're in the boat, and the boat's not, and the water's not really active. Have you been in a place, have you ever been in a boat when the storm is really, oh my soul? I remember I went to Grace Independent Baptist Church, where I got called to surrender to preach. And I remember going with a fellow, his name is Bill Eller. He was still there at the church not too long, but he's getting ready to move to South Carolina. And he had this big cabin cruiser, and me and a couple other guys drove all the way down early in the morning to go fishing. The only problem was it was bad sea. And I thought, can't you drive this boat? Amen. Can we go? And when we went out there, I wish we never went out. Hello? Come on, seriously. Some people are starting chumming up. Amen? Come on now. Didn't have to worry about feeding the ship. It was all there for you. Amen? Hello? And I was wondering if we were ever going to make it back in. Bad decision. So here's Peter. Steps out on the water. He's walking, man. It's awesome. But he forgot what kind of water was out there. And we'll look at it in just a minute. Now, you listen very carefully. Here's our problem when we're going through a storm. We focus on the storm rather than focusing on Jesus. Watch, watch, watch. If Peter would have focused on Jesus on the water, he never would have saw what was going on with the storm. That's where we live. Because what we do is we allow circumstances to dictate what's going on in our life, rather than allowing Jesus. See, we're supposed to live above our circumstances, not in the circumstances. But this old flesh, when you start to think you're going to live above it, that old flesh pulls you back and tries to bring you back to reality when the Holy Spirit of God is trying to bring you on, you ready? His reality, amen? Come on now. Because it's always brighter from up top. Come on now. Storm may be down here, but there's sunny skies up in glory. Come on. Hello. All right, here we go. You're holding me up again. It's all your fault. Amen? All right, here we go. But straightway, Peter said, okay, verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw, here we go, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, he took a 15-minute prayer right there. Is that what he did? He just said, Lord, save me! That was pretty deep. That was pretty deep prayer, wasn't it? When you're in trouble and you got issues going on, come on. All you have to do is say, help! That's one thing that's amazing. You don't have to give no repetition prayer. God always, listen, we're driving on the highway. I'm on it's called the Schuylkill, but I call it the Sure Kill. I mean, people get killed on there all the time. I'm thinking to myself, if I break down here, it's over. And I'm figuring, you know what? God's greater than he that is in this world and greater than any vehicle. Amen? Yeah. I mean, God could allow that vehicle just to keep running, right? Yeah. So he did. Glory to God. Come on. Yeah. But going through it? Come on, you're wondering what in the world's going to happen next. Yeah, I'm like waiting for the drive shaft to come right through the floor. Amen. Hello? Here's Peter walking on the sea, and all of a sudden he's sinking. I'll bet at that moment he realized who Jesus really was then, huh? That's right. Do you know what? Sometimes God needs to get your attention that way. I don't like those kind of storms. I don't like it when it's my fault and I bring the storm on myself. It's a whole different ballgame when God's initiating it. But it's a whole other one when it's God trying to get my attention. Yeah. Hello. I don't like those kind of storms. Been there. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this young man getting saved today. And I pray tonight that you'd use your Holy Spirit to speak through our hearts. I don't want to ever come to a place in my life where I'm content with my Christianity. And I pray that, Lord God, you'd speak to my heart tonight. And speak to every heart in this room tonight. Might we hear from heaven tonight. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to look at some things tonight. Maybe you're going in a storm. I wrote something down up top here and it's very true. Don't make decisions in the storm. I've learned that sometimes in the storm when you're making decisions, you don't make them when things are really bad. Because you'll probably regret the decisions you made. Well, it really got quiet now. Lord have mercy. I've been there and made some bad decisions. My first point of the message is this. When you're going through a storm, first of all, have faith, not fear. Have faith, not fear. Stay there in Matthew 14. We'll look at a couple other verses. Look at verse 30 and verse 31. Now this is Peter. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He called saying, Lord, save me. Now watch it. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Wow. First of all, when you think about it, Peter had to think and ask a second time, was it Jesus? Should he already known that? He said, it is I. You've been around him, right? You can hear his voice, right? You should know what's going on, right? Now, in my life, you ready? Watch. The Bible says if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we'll say to this mountain, be cast into the sea and move it. I mean, just, now watch. The faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Now here's my question. And we don't even have that much faith? I mean, listen, can I be honest with you tonight? If I said to that mountain, be cast out and go into the water, would I believe it happened? I ain't got that faith. Now, you might be super giant faith. I don't know. Come on, listen. All right, let me help you here. Can I help you here? If you today would go around to the churches that I go around with, go around to, I'm going to throw you statistics. I'm going to blow your mind away. The average independent fundamental church has a hard time meeting budget. And watch. You know why? Because everybody in church doesn't tithe. Watch. Do you know why? Because they don't have enough faith. Woo! Now everybody gets nervous when you talk about money. But I don't know about you, but if you don't pay your electric bill, then they're going to shut the air conditioning down and shut the lights off. You ain't getting no freebies. But now watch. Now here's the next statistic. In the average independent fundamental Baptist church all across America, you ready? Average, 10 to 12% of the people in the pew tithe. Now you listen very careful to me, very carefully. If you think for 1 minute that God is not keeping records on what you give, you are out of your mind. And if you think for 1 minute that God is going to bless your life because you don't do what God tells you to do, you are out of your mind. And you say, well, you know, no, whoa, wait a second. Let's talk about Bible here. The Bible says in Malachi 3:10 that we're supposed to give a tenth unto the Lord. A tenth. So it only costs you 90%. It only costs you 10% to live on this earth, and you get 90% back. Now here's the issue. You ready? Watch. Our problem is we don't give it because we don't have enough faith to believe that God can take care of us. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. There's no getting around it. There's not. So imagine if everybody in Solid Rock Baptist Church would tithe today. I believe this in my heart, preacher. I believe it as I'm standing here. I do not believe that any church in America would have any problems with paying their bills if everybody would tithe. I remember when I first started to tithe, I'm thinking, what, are you kidding me? You want me to do what? And then watch. Then they said, well, you know what? You got to pray about how much you're going to give to missions. Whoa, wait a second. I already didn't have enough faith for the 10%. And now you want me to do what? And then they got the nerve. Watch. That God instructs them that they're going to do a little building project. And you want who to pay that?
Can I help you here? The same people. We're not getting anything donated to us. Come on now. So watch us. So just think about this for a minute. So all the way back in time, when God first instructed, and Abraham and Melchizedek and all them gave a tenth. Watch. How rich were the children of Israel back then? And we can't give the Lord 10%. Can I help you here? Listen, do you know how rough it is sometimes to put that thing, and you put that, look, you're like this. You're putting it in, but you want to take it back out. Because you know, when you dump that in, watch it, you got a little bit of fear, thinking if God's going to work that out. That's where we live. And here's what I've learned. My faith is usually tested like that, and there'll be something else that's coming in my life, and there might be something that breaks down or something I got to fix, and the natural reaction is to take it from your tithe. And God's going to bless that how? So now, just think about this for a minute. So watch. So we say that we want revival. And listen, we don't even have the basics covered. We ain't even given. Seriously. Faith, not fear. It's where we live. It's where I live. So my Sprinter truck is in the shop. I have extended warranty on it, but you know what usually happens? They always give you an excuse why it's not covered under the warranty. So sometimes I wonder, why do you have a warranty? It's just their way to beat you out of money. Amen? Seriously. Come on. Now watch. So the same God that I tithe to is the same God who could give me money to take care of the truck, right? Same God. I don't know if you know, there's not like two different gods. We serve one God, right? So if God tells you or instructs you to give to Him. All right. You're looking at me like a calf at a new gate. All right, Malachi chapter 3. Just go there. Look at me like, why? Yeah, I didn't expect to come on Sunday night and somebody tell me about tithing. I'm sorry, that's what God told me to tell you. What do you want me to do? And I'm just going down that road. Sorry. Okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. Woo! I don't even like that verse. I try to stay away from that verse. Malachi, that's the last Malachi. It's right, if you're Italian, you say Malachi, okay? It's right before Matthew, okay? Here we go. Will a man rob man? Is that what that says? Will a man rob? Well, watch it. It's one thing to rob a man, but it's a whole other ballgame to rob God. Now, here's where we get messed up. We forget that everything we have has been given to us by God. That's our problem. Because if we understood that, then we'd be okay with it. And we'll get to somebody in just a minute, okay? All right, here we go. Yet ye have robbed me. Here we go. Here's the statement. But we say, you bunch of scams, amen? Wherein have you robbed thee? Hey, watch it go. In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Whoa, wait a second. For what? For not tithing. So let me help you here. So if you have financial problems today and you're really struggling, can I help you? You're probably not tithing. Now, I'm not saying that you're living way above your means. I'm just saying, God says when you give to Him, He's going to take care of your need. Not your want, your need. Now, if I believe God, that's true, right? Yes. Now watch what the next verse says after we get there. Come on, here we go, come on. You have robbed me even this whole nation. Whoa, wait a second, the whole nation? Yeah, do you know what? Can I help you here? And this is really, I mean, if you read your Bible, you can see this. Do you know that a congregation can suffer for one person's sin? Aiken stole the bacon. What happened to him? my team message I preach, and I actually have them where they stone the whole family. I mean, he took what didn't belong to him, really, honestly, when you think about it, he took really what belonged to God. That gold and silver all was supposed to go to God. It was supposed to go in for the temple. Come on now. It's a whole other ballgame when you mess with God's stuff. Seriously now. Come on. We might only get through one point tonight, but who cares? It's God's in control. Amen? Watch it. Everybody, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Now watch it. And prove me next week. Is that what that says? Prove me now. So God says, give what you're supposed to give, and you prove God, and see what he's going to do. Woo! Glory to God! It's awesome! It is awesome! Seriously! Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now that's the kind of blessing I want. Are you serious? I'm just thinking. God just brought to memory. Think about this for a minute. Right before I was going on the road, I traveled a little bit when I first started out before I was hooked up with Northeast Vision. And I was traveling around with an S10 pickup. And that S10 pickup, I'd put all the tools in the back. I'd put a tarp in the bottom of it. And I'd cover all the tools and hope and pray that where I got where I was going, I had all the tools. And so I started praying, God, I need a truck. I need it for the ministry. It's not for me. It's for the ministry. And literally, when you think about it, I was going to buy, and I might have told the story, but it's a perfect point right here. I was going to buy a dual-wheeled truck and put a trailer behind it. And I knew an evangelist was selling one, and I don't know, he wanted like $32,000, $33,000 for the truck, plus I'm going to buy the trailer. And somebody came up to me and said, did you ever think about a Sprinter van? And I said, what in the world's a Sprinter van? I have no idea what it is. He said, well, these kind of trucks here that you can actually stand up in the back of it. I thought, come on, I'm 6'3". If I can stand in the back of it, I'm all about it, amen? Because you know when you get in them small vans, you got to go over like this and then bump your head in the head. Oh, please, seriously. Econoline vans. You know what I'm talking about, right? Got to crawl on your knees to get everything out. And so I said, okay, let me go look at Sprinter vans. So I go look at Sprinter vans. And then a pastor says to me, he said, look, now you're looking for a van. He said, why don't you look for a van and see if you can find a van. And look for something that'll pay like you'll pay $22,000 for. I said, okay, I'll look. Everything in that model and everything in that year and everything around that money could never come to $22,000 because there were pieces of junk and people drove it into the ground. So watch. So here's what the Lord said to me. He said, why don't you pray specifically for the van that you want? You know, God always has the perfect idea. Seriously. It really does. So I started praying. I said, okay, Lord. Okay, here's what I want. I want a van, and I want it the color. I don't want white. I had a white car. I had to wash it all the time. I don't want a white color. I want a color van. I said, now, a couple things I need in the van. Number one is I need air conditioning. Because if I don't have air conditioning, I'm going to die. Seriously. My mother's 81. My aunt's 89, and they're putting sweaters on. Are you serious? Anyway, I don't even want to go there. I said, I need air conditioning. I need some kind of to play CDs on. It'd be great if that was Bluetooth, and I could hook up my iPhone to it and play my music. It'd really be awesome. I don't have to have the Bluetooth, but I'd like to have the Bluetooth just so I can put my CDs in. I'll be good. Now, Lord, I need a cruise control. I need cruise control. I've been driving on the miles as I drive. You need cruise control. Amen? Nothing worse than just have to hold your foot on that gas. Whoa, whoa, when you're driving down the highway. Amen? Please. And then I started saying, okay, Lord, I'd like to have a truck 2008 or newer. And I want it to have under 60,000 miles or at the max 60,000 miles on that truck. Now here was the next one. And I said, I want to pay $25,000 for it. And most people looked at me like, you are out of your mind, son. Hey, I've been out of my mind a long time ago. Please, you don't have to tell me and remind me of that. I've been down that road before. Seriously. So I go back to the preacher and I say, look, I can't find a vehicle for $22,000. He said, maybe if you raise it up, maybe you can go like $29,000 and maybe you can find them one then. So, you ready? Watch. I'm doing a vacation Bible school. I'm in Sparta, New Jersey. There's a fellow there who sells trucks. I'm doing vacation Bible school. I said, by the way, I said, would there be any chance that you would have a Sprinter truck on your lot? He said, it's amazing you asked me that. He said, last week, a plumber who used to drive the Sprinter van around, he's now going to go in a pickup truck. I got one right on my lot. I said, now watch, before I get excited, let's get some details here, okay? I don't want to get too excited. Before I come see it, don't get too excited here. I said, okay, what color is it? He says, it's red. Woo! One down. Come on now. I said, how many miles on it? He said, 56,000. I said, what year is it? He said, 2008. He said, now, I said, any kind of CD player? He said, well, the guy took his own system out, so we had to put a brand new Pioneer Bluetooth in there. Woo! I'm getting a little excited right about now. Got air conditioning in it? Yeah. Got cruise control? Yeah. He said, okay. I said, how much is the deal? I said, it's $29,999. Just say $30,000. What are you, crazy? I said, okay. I said, will you take $25,000? He said, we'll take $25,500. Close, $500. Listen very carefully. When I pull up to look at this truck, he said, you want to drive? I said, I really don't have to. I came alongside the truck. Now watch. And God said to me, that's a truck. So now I go back to the preacher who said he's going to give me $29,000. I'm at $25,500. I think we're set. So I call him up. I said, look, I found a van. He said, okay. He said, we'll give you $5,000 for it. Towards it. I thought, I ain't looking to get a truck payment. Now you listen very carefully, because I'm going to show you the storm, and I'm going to show you how the trial, and I'm going to show you how God worked this all out. Okay? Here you go, watch. So the car dealership, I put $1,000 down. They want to make the deal. I'm in the midst of the summit. They drive 2.5 hours to bring that vehicle to me at the Wingate. Now, I said, look, you can run my credit. I don't know if it's going to let me get a loan on that van, but you can go ahead and try. So it went through. And I said, I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, amen, but hello. Now watch, I'm trying to set this whole storm up for you here. Listen very carefully. So I told Pastor Clark the whole issue. I said, now how can I go back and say that to the preacher when he gave me $5,000? I mean, that's like 5 cents. But it ain't 20 more thousand. Now you listen to me exactly what God did. The first one is faith. You ready? Not fear. The second one is, ready? Pray, don't panic. Pray, don't panic. Now here you go, watch. So is it either God that put me to get that van or something else? So my wife and I prayed about it. And we said, if it goes through, it's God's will. It ain't my money anyway. Hello? Seriously. But during that time, you want to talk about having fear rather than faith? That's where I'm living. Seriously. I remember I showed the van to Brother Fisher. I told him the story. You know what he said? He said, let's just do it at a summit. We'll just get up in the air and say, you need $20,000 to pay this van off. We'll pay it off tonight. I thought, great idea. But we don't do that at the summit. That's not what we're about. We're not about raising money for people. We're about you coming and getting encouraged. We don't even pass an offering plate around unless it's to raise money for somebody who's got a need. So you listen. Not too long after that, I met with my deacon guy, about the door guy down here, whatever, parts, whatever. And he said to me, he said, look, I'm going to try to see if I can work it out, that we'll pay it through our business. So that's, I think that's a pretty good idea, amen, hello. Well, it couldn't happen that way. So here's what he did. He said, what I'll do is I'll give you $250 a month toward a truck. Come on! Payment's like 17, something like that, babes? Something like that, $517. I said, so where is the other money going to come from? I didn't say that to them, I'm saying to me. So I begin now to help a preacher on a building project. And so now he's starting to send me $500 every 2 weeks. Come on! $1,000 going to pay the truck off real quick. Now you listen to me very carefully. Where I was living at was fear rather than faith. Until I got to the place where I started praying rather than panicking. So here you go, watch. So you go. So you're supposed to give money. And you're supposed to give it, come on, watch. The Bible says cheerfully. Amen. Not begrudgingly. Yeah. Now God will take it from both people. The begrudging people and the cheerful people. Yeah. But he'd rather have you give it cheerfully. Pray, don't panic. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Job. So here's Job, Job chapter 1, and you read that whole thing about Satan wants to touch Job. And God says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? One who's perfect." Watch it. Here's a key. Sheweth evil. You know what that means? Runs away from evil. Young people, listen very carefully. Sometimes adults, we want the best of both worlds. We want God and we want the world. That ain't going to work. Because you can't serve two masters. You're going to love the one, hate the other. It's just the way it rolls. So here's Job. From the richest to the poorest in a 24-hour period. Loses his whole family except his wife and probably wish he would have lost her. She was brutal. Hey, Job, what are you doing, man? What are you holding on to your integrity for? All right, let's turn here. Job chapter 1. And I'm coming around third next week. But anyway, it's okay. Just do what the Lord wants you to do and just go there. Job was right before Psalms. If you want to call it job, you can call it job. Amen. Just like Malachi, it's fine. Whatever you want to do, it's fine. Just get to where it is. Amen. Job chapter 1. Begin in verse number 20. Job 1, verse 20. And Job, after everything happened, arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and complained. Murmured. I don't know. My wife and I were talking about this today. If that all happened to me, hypothetically speaking, it didn't, but I don't know. That's a whole other different level of faith right there. Because it's easy to say. It's hard when you're going through it. Look what he says. Look what it says. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. Did you see what he said? He said, God chose to give it to me, and if God chose to take it away, still the same. Think about that for a minute. Listen, if God can give you $1 million and trust you with it, then he would give you $1 million. But he ain't giving me $1 million because he knows I'll mess it up. So I ain't getting $1 million. I ain't expecting to get $1 million. Seriously. Because I'll mess it up. God knows who to entrust money to. Seriously. Come on now. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Watch it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Woo! Third point, I'm through. So you're going through storms. Sometimes you have more fear than you have faith. So you need to have faith more than fear. You need to pray and don't panic. You ready? The third point is this. Believe God, don't blame God. There's a whole lot of people I know. When tough things go in their family, in their life, they blame God for it. I'll tell you a story and I'll close. I had a young girl in our school and also on our bus route that I picked up, and I got the contact because I met a fella who was working in the Home Depot. If anybody knows me, I live in the Home Depot. And I saw this guy working, and I stopped, and he was working by the desk, or the window desk, and I started talking to him, and I started telling him where I live in Southwest, and I said we come around, and we knock on people's doors and try to find people we can take to the bus and bring people to church. I said, by any chance, would you have a family? Married, got kids, whatever. Now he came from Trinidad. I said, we'd be willing to come by and visit with your parent, with your mom, with your wife, and the kids, and see if we bring them to church. He said, well, I'm usually working on Sunday, so I usually can't come. And so I came the first Saturday, and that Sunday they rode the bus. Mom, Reggie, and Brenda. And they rode our bus, and Dad, after I searched out some things, he wasn't saved. He had religion, but he didn't have salvation. And so Mom and Reggie and Brenda all got saved at our church and got baptized. It was awesome. And the kids got enrolled in Christian school. And Brenda, her middle name is Joy. And Brenda was the kind of girl that when she came up into a room, she just lit the place up. She had a smile that was unbelievable. And she'd complain all the time. And my wife had her in kindergarten class. She'd always complain about pains in her knee and pains in other places. And they gave her a nickname and they called her Grandma. And then that was 5 years old, and then 6 years old, and then 7 years old. It got out of control. And so we gave Mom and Dad a little counsel that maybe they should take her to the doctor. And they took little Brenda to Children's Hospital. And when they took Brenda to Children's Hospital and they took a scan, what they found is that Brenda had a tumor right at her kneecap area. And they were saying that it was cancerous. And I remember like it was yesterday. Because we were getting ready to have a ladies' thing going on. And I rushed up to Children's Hospital to meet with them and to meet with the doctor. And they came in with the news. You can just see you can just look at the doctor and tell something's wrong. And they said, we're gonna have to take her leg off above her kneecap down. And they said, beside that, with the scan that we took, we've also found out that she's got small little nodule tumors all in her lungs. And to be honest with you, it looks incurable. Whew. I thought. Now I remember going to visit in the hospital with her.
She was going through chemo. She lost her hair. Still smiling. I remember not drinking. I came up there. Me, I'm the candy guy. So I'm figuring, I'm going to take some pixie sticks up there, amen? I'm going to cut the tops of them things off. I'm going to pour it in water. And I'm going to get her to drink something. So, but I asked the nurse first, just relax. Thank you very much. He said, look, she'll drink anything. If she'll drink anything, that'll be a plus. So I should go up there and spend a couple hours after I got done. And Brenda began to drink, and I began to play with the kids. You know me. I'm a 60-year-old kid. I ain't never grown up, amen? My wife's going to buy me this T-shirt. What's it say? Growing Owens is mandatory. Optional. Yeah, growing up is optional. Amen. And they said to me, do you want a job here? Which then birthed in at Southside Baptist Church a ministry to go up and work in Children's Hospital on Thursday nights with those kids and their families. And listen very carefully. If you're somebody here tonight and you got a cold heart, you need to go visit Children's Hospital. When I walk in that place, I say it to my wife all the time. We're just up there not too long ago. We are so blessed. My two boys got everything. Still healthy. Seriously. And we complain about what? So here you go. Here's Brenda. Three weeks. Not even a month. I remember the night. It was on a Friday night. It was about a little after 12. I showed up. I said, she's getting real bad. I was able to be there by her bedside. Her parents weren't even there. I was by her bedside. I prayed with her, and I saw her take her last breath. And you listen to me. And you listen, and here's what we do sometimes. We believe God up to a certain point, and then we want to blame God why he took her. There's a lot of Christians today who blame God and never come back to church again. Can I help you here? Either God knows better than we do, or he doesn't. And there was a reason why Brenda went home. Because her pathway with half a leg, who knows? Now you listen to me. But because of talk, I am nobody. I fall far short what I should be doing in soul winning. But listen very carefully. Because of talking somebody in a Home Depot with a gospel tract, Brenda's in heaven today. And we walk by people all the time, and do we really care? If we don't talk to them or we don't give them a gospel tract, guess what? We don't care. Period. Period. So now you think, what in the world is going to happen to this family? They moved to Florida. Kept in contact with them. Reggie, their son was, I don't know, 16 at the time. And God allowed mom to get pregnant again. A year or so later, after Brenda's death, guess what? It was a girl. Guess what she named the baby? Joy. Come on, are you serious? Her name was Brenda Joy. God allowed her to bring another child, Joy. Now listen very carefully, and I'm through. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what storm you're going through. And you might not be going through one right now, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not, one's coming. And you need to prepare yourself to know what your response is going to be before you get there.
Because what? Ready? Peter's case? Fear more than faith. Panic more than praying. Did he believe God? So here you go, and I'm through. So where are you at tonight? What's God doing in your life? Listen very carefully. Vacation Bible School is worth every red cent there is. We have no idea who's coming this week. But listen very carefully. You and I need to make sure that we're praying and we're not panicking. And we got faith more than fear. And no matter what goes on this week, don't blame God. Just believe God is in control. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm through. I'm finished. I appreciate your attention tonight. Appreciate your attention. Maybe you're here tonight. I don't know.